I decided when I volunteered foolishly to do this, we were at a deacon's meeting, and Ken had told us that that he was going to be away, and would anybody like to speak? And I kind of went, no. Yes, not Bart, don't do that. And of course, Bruce said, I'll do it. And I said, oh, that was good. That one's gone. A couple days later, I told Lisa what had happened. She said, why don't you just do it? I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks. Maybe not. So I phoned Ken, and I said, would you mind asking Bruce if I could come up and talk? And Bruce was gracious enough to let me take this Sunday, so I take it with some honor. So I thank you also, and thank Ken. I decided to do, or started to actually talk about and think about God's grace, and call it God's grace, where is it? It's something that I think we all need. We need to understand. We need to receive. And sometimes I think that's one of my biggest faults, maybe, is being able to receive. I can certainly give, but to receive is something different for me. For grace, I had to look. I had to look for direction. I had to look for somewhere to start. And I decided to find some words in the Bible and use some of my own stories. And hopefully, then I get my technology and my story straight. In 2 Corinthians, verses 9 and 10, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When I think about that, it's like, okay, maybe he is talking to me. At times I feel that it is our strength within ourselves that we need to be humbled a bit. For it is a gift that we need to receive from Christ and Christ alone. I have to also admit some sort of embarrassment in the sense that I have never finished the Bible cover to cover. And I think that hurts me a bit, but it's also the truth. And it's something that I need to work on. But I say that to you not to embarrass yourself, myself, excuse me, but I say it to say that I think God speaks to us all through the Bible. And it's also reading His words that we become stronger and we get to learn about His grace. It's on my list of things to do, though. We're working on it. I thought about how I would talk about grace and God's grace that is sufficient for all of us. I came up with a story. I thought, well, I'll just share a true story. And my story is about our washing machine. It'll all come together at the end, I promise. It was time for a new washing machine in the Mitchell household. And my wife gave me instructions. She said, we are now going to get a front loader. Yes, dear. Off to the store we went. Into the store, we get our front loader. She decides what we need. And all of a sudden, the guy said, well, here's the bill, and it's $70 for delivery. I said, that's fine. We'll take the washer, but we're not getting delivered. I'll get a friend, and we'll pick it up. I'm Scottish by nature. It was close to home. So we're good for that. The washer shows up. My friend and I pick up the washer. We take the washer downstairs. Now it's a brand new washer. In the my friend and I, we unboxed it. We took it apart, and he said to me, "Mitch, do you need any more help?" And I said, "No, I'm good. I got this all figured out. That's what I do. I fix things for a living. I fix things. I get paid to fix motors, to make lights work, to make machines work. I go in, I fix, and then I leave." I said, John, it's a washer. In and out like that, I'll be. Wrong again, honey. All of a sudden, I thought about it, and the washer says we unpackage it. We see the instructions. I put the instructions where, because I don't need them. On the front of the instructions are big letters, big words. Make sure that the washer is level. with that information that the washer needs to be level, all I know is I need a hot water supply, I need a cold water supply, and I need power, and we are good to go. I'm a professional tradesman. This will not take me long. We hook up everything, hot water, cold water, power, take precision to level off my brand new washer that I probably never used. I turned the washer on, and all of a sudden this washer started to dance across my floor. To my surprise, I decided, obviously there was something wrong. I decided to take out a bigger level, went to the garage, came back. Now I have a bigger level, the level sits right on top of this, and I start manipulating the 4 feet at the bottom of the washer to make sure that it's perfectly level. At this time, my frustration level is starting to rise slightly. Okay, that's a lie. At this point, my frustration is getting high. Thank you. That's a good word for church. It's getting high. And I'm not sure what to do. I get frustrated quickly when I'm not able to fix things. I think at this point I heard my wife, or maybe my wife heard me, cursing a little bit. She probably told the kids at this time, don't go downstairs, your dad's fixing the washer. Stay away, stay away. This is not good. I must have tried to manipulate that washer for another 20, 30 minutes, readjusting, checking. I think I might even grab another level, because that one was broken. My wife came downstairs. She looked at me. She got a quick read of the situation. That's what 33 lovely years will do. She says, how's it going? Not good? I think it's defective. The washer is defective. It happens, honey. We have got a defective washer. Well, I'm on my back. My darling wife picks up the instruction manual, quietly looks at me, and she says, did you remove the shipping bolts? What shipping bolts, dear? I think page 2. There's 3 shipping bolts on the back. They do that to ensure that the tub inside does not move around. I removed the 3 shipping bolts. And that brand new washer was quiet as could be. Didn't move around anywhere. I found it unbelievable. With that in mind, that story is very true. And I will come back to it when I am done. The story is true, and that's part of me, part of listening to my wife, listening. And I wanted to talk about grace and where's God's grace for me. I still cannot believe to this day that Lisa and I were sitting around maybe 15, 16 years ago when James Mitchell was 3 years old, who hadn't started to go to public school yet. I think he mentioned 2 or 3 times at dinner, he said to his mom and dad and his older brother, he says, when are we going to go to church? We're like, where'd you get this from? You know, we're looking at each other. Here's this child. Who's he hanging out with? We got to change this up. It was unbelievable. But he did ask us a few times. And it was through that, James asking us about going to church. It wasn't too long after that that we found this church's parade. And we have been here ever since. And I count that as a blessing. I count that as a blessing for my whole family. It's a place where we feel we belong. It's a place where we feel that God has a plan. I also believe God has a sense of humor, hence me being here. But it's something when you look back for me, when I talk about God's grace and where is it, I must think back on those things, how He has affected me. And I look at that and I thank God for it. With that being said, I got a book lent to me, What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey. And there's some very interesting stories in there about God's grace. And I stole one of his lines. And it says, not because of who I am, but what Christ has done for me. In that sense, I try to understand where God is for me, what God has done for me, and what gifts I need to accept from Him. Jesus tells us that it's a free gift. It's nothing you earn. It's nothing that we have done. There's nothing that we can do. It's something that we need to accept. For me, I'm the type of guy that because I try to fix things, like the washer, it doesn't always go my way. And I don't understand and I get frustrated quickly. The understanding that when you're in control, you believe that you can do it yourself. I can fix this. I can do this. I can do that. And then all of a sudden for me, God doesn't tap me on the shoulder because I don't respond to that. What He needs to do is take a big 2x4. He was shooting for my head, but He got me in my lower back. So as I was lying there pondering, where is God's grace? It's in those situations. It's in those gifts. I believe I'm a giving person, and I enjoy doing that. And I have many examples, I believe, of that. And I mean, certainly one is the there's a Tim Hortons, which is one of my addictions, right, and smoking. There's a Tim Hortons up on Kingston Road here, and that Tim Hortons has basically two entrances. One is off Kingston Road, and it's a very long line to get into where the speaker is to order your coffees. The other one, you can go behind in the back lane. And then you wait for someone to gracefully let you in. When that happens, I'm like, beep, beep, thank you very much. And when you get up and grab your coffee, I will always ask what the person behind me is getting. Because of being Scottish again, as long as it's not a huge order, I will buy. And if you want to see someone's reaction for $2 or $3 that they got for nothing, they cannot believe what has happened. By the time you pull out of that driveway and get to Kingston Road and you are ready to turn to go home, they are beeping and honking and waving like they won $1 million. And I think, for the couple of dollars, is that God's grace, or are we just being nice? Or am I just being nice? I was certainly thankful that they let me in. But if grace is something that is undeserved, and usually God's grace is unfair, if you think that God's grace is unfair, I looked in Luke 15. There are stories there, the three stories. The first story there, the story of the lost sheep. And what does the shepherd do? He goes out and says, I need to go find this one sheep. Why is that so important? What about the 99? Every one of these stories, there was rejoicing. Rejoicing for the shepherd who lost the sheep. Rejoicing for the lost coin. And also the rejoicing of the lost son. In the story of the prodigal son, when the son returns, the father is overjoyed and rejoiced. And he is welcomed back with grace. With God's grace. I think the father in the story resembles God. Because what the son has done. And what did the son decide to do except to come back to the father? He realized his ways. He realized he was lost. But it was so unfair to the brother. The brother did not understand. The brother said, Father, I've been here all the time. I took care of your property. I worked for you. I stayed here and helped you. Sometimes I think grace can be unfair. So the giving with the expectation of nothing in return. The giving of love. The giving of understanding. The giving of second chances. The giving of grace. And all through the Bible, Jesus never defines grace, never analyzes grace, just shows us. He shows us what we need to do with the gift. Stolen information from another book. I think C.S. Lewis and a few other articulate, intelligent men were having a discussion in regards to other religions, including Christianity. They were trying to find out the biggest difference in all the faiths, whether it be Muslim, Hindu, Christianity. And C.S. Lewis said the one difference in Christianity is God's grace. God's grace for love. God's grace of understanding. And it is a free gift. The gift for us, for me, because it's not a sermon, so I teach you nothing. I just tell you in the fireside chat that Brian tries to receive and understand God's grace. And sometimes I have trouble. Sometimes I think we all have trouble. When I was down and out, I got to a point with my back that my wife and I also realized that we were in trouble. If I could not go back to work, we were in trouble. The business was in trouble. Employees were in trouble. You're not sure. And then you go down the road, I wonder if God is punishing me. I wonder if God is trying to get my attention. I wonder if God loves me. God loves me no more or no less since the day I was born. It's always the same. God loves me. And it's for me to move. For me to show grace. For me not to judge. For me to learn. It's such a big gift. You can't earn it. You know you can't work for it. It is a gift. You see, because I'm a better giver than I'm a receiver, maybe I'm just trying to hide. I feel like I got a bit of Jonah in me. No comments. Everybody just hold the breath there. No pointing fingers here. That's what Mel says, remember? And one pointing at you, three pointing back. See, I do feel a certain amount of fear. But I'm glad I took up the challenge. I mean, for me, teaching at a college for 6 or 7 years, I found I did it well. I understood what I was talking about. I could explain myself and feel quite comfortable talking to people who were 20, 30, and 40 years old without an issue. Getting up here, certainly different for me. But I accept it like I am learning to accept God's grace. In Ephesians 2:8, I'm not even going to look at my Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works. It is the believing that God is with us. It is the belief that God has a plan for us. And it is the belief that we need to extend that gift to other people. I told you I would like to come back to the washer. It's true that I didn't read the instructions. For me, I look at it now and I thought about it getting ready. To me, I now look at the instructions, as my wife so duly noted, that the instruction is like the Bible. We need to pick it up. We need to look. We need to read. God will talk to us. He will talk to us all if we ask. And He will lead us. As far as the washing machine goes, I think the washing machines are ourselves. There's no use in reading without action. We have to do something with the Word. Thank you, Ava. We have to do something with the Word. It is in that the action takes place. So the washing machine for us is doing it. Doing that stuff. The last thing about that story is those shipping bolts. Specifically those three shipping bolts that I failed to remove. I was very glad my wife was there that day. Not every day, but I'm glad that she was there that day. Just kidding there. It was good instructions. I think the three shipping bolts, when I look back at it, the three shipping bolts is also in me. By reading God's Word and trying to implement and understand what God has for me, I start to remove my own shipping bolts. I start to believe that God has a plan. And I start to accept God's grace. As I also try to hand it out with coffees, with love, I learn. I'm really glad Karen Frazier's not here. Don't get mad. Because she usually starts crying and that will just send me over the top. So wherever she is, thank you, Lord. Because she was in my notes and I was going to give her the what for. Don't tell me God doesn't have a plan. I almost got through this without crying. The last thing I'll leave you with, and I'm just going to read, is the song John Newton, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, His words my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil of life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. The God who called me here below will be forever mine. Thank you all for this opportunity to get up in front of you. I thank you very much. I appreciate it, and God bless.